Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 12 through 17 as we conclude this chapter. And this has been a wonderful chapter. And so allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Are You Equipped for Good Works? Are you equipped for good works? And as we know in the natural world, that those of you that are still in the workforce or in the work world and still have a job, praise God, that many times the employer will equip you on what you need to do to complete the task. And so there are things there that they have allowed you to be equipped with. Meaning if you work in sheet metal, well, they have mills there and they have machinery there so you can cut out the sheet metal. Can I get an amen? Well, God's word is no different. God's word is to equip us so that we can continue to do the work of the ministry. And so it is the word of God, the power of God, and the anointing of God that equips you and I to continue in this wonderful walk with him. And how many love to walk with the Lord? Come on, we're here because we love him, amen? And so we're going to do our best to expound verses 12 through 17 as we conclude this chapter. And so, verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will. Did it say might? Will suffer persecution. Can I get an amen? Verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And this is what we see right now in the condition of the state of California. They are being deceived. Amen. And pray for me tomorrow morning. I'm going to the National City to meet with all the pastors in National City. They meet once a month. And I'm going to show them the bill that Sister Tammy brought to my attention. And because none of them know about it. Brother Albert called me this morning. Can you share this with us? I'm telling you, the church is asleep. Wake up. Verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of knowing from whom you have learned from them. Amen. Verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Key component here in this scripture. Verse 16, all scripture, save it with me. All scripture, not just one portion, not just the Old Testament, not just the no, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, meaning teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? Righteousness. Can I get an amen? Righteousness. Now, verse 17, that the man of God may be what? Complete. How many of you want to be complete in Christ? Okay, the only way to be complete in Christ is you need to be in his word. Listen, when we get saved, praise God, the Holy Spirit, man, comes and illuminates us and we fall in love with Jesus, amen? But then we are driven by the Spirit of God to go deeper with him. And the only way you're going to know him is through his word. Because when things come your way, what do? Sometimes it's shock and awe. We run here and we run contrary to God. We are to run to him and we are to know his ways. When you understand his attributes, when you understand his characteristic, when you understand how he operates in our life, then you will have the confidence that this is my only source that I'm going to. Is the Lord. And so Let's go back to verse 12. And yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So guess what? If you're living right for the Lord, there's people that are going to hate you. And let me just ask you this. I'm just going to ask you this. I'm just going to throw this out. Since you've been a Christian, is there people that you know in the sphere of your influence, meaning people that surround your life? There's people that I will never meet in your life, and probably you will never meet people in my life. That's just how it works. But there's people in your life that you know, and do some of them dislike you? Huh? Especially now that you're saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, you take on another character, and that should be a godly character. Can I get an amen? So in this charge, Paul was telling Timothy that people who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Paul knew that truth from his own experience. Jesus warned his disciples. Did you know that Jesus warned his disciples that you will be persecuted for my name's sake? Oh, yeah. It's right here in the Word. Let's look at that. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So those folks that I asked you that you can recollect right now in your mind that either dislike you or sometimes they even hate you for what you stand for, they hated Jesus before then, before you even came into this world, before you even received your salvation, they already hated Jesus. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. I know some folks, I could just rattle them on all night tonight, that don't like me. You know why? Because I won't compromise with them. There's people that want to they want you to compromise with them. You know why? Because they want to know, well, you know what? I know they're Christians, but you know, they do what I do too. That's what they want. You know what? They want you to lose your testimony so that you can be equal with them, so that you can roll in the mud with them. Look at verse 20 here. Remember the word that I said to you. Look at this. The word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also what? Persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. You know what I love about the saints of God that come out Sundays, Wednesdays, and fellowship on Fridays, and those that are plugged in? You know what I love? Is you're learning to keep his word. Because God, he burst that desire in you. It don't come all by itself. It comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. He desires that for you. And because it's his will and not ours, it becomes evident in our life. And he manifests that desire in your soul. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him or sent me. See, here's the thing that you and I have, and we can't boast about it other than give God the glory. But for our unsaved family and friends and acquaintances, they don't have a clue who God is. You know why we understand it? Because the Holy Ghost came from heaven to come live inside of our hearts. It came from above. And so their wisdom and understanding and their knowledge is of the earth. They cannot see the things of God. They're blinded to it. So this is why there's a confrontation with light, because God is light, and darkness. The people of this world, they're walking in darkness. And look at this. It says, and if I had come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. See, Jesus had to come and point it out. Remember, the Bible says that when Jesus went away, the Holy Ghost came to what? To reprove the world of sin. That's why the Holy Ghost came. To show men and women the sin nature that's within us. Look at verse 23 here. He who hates me hates my Father also. What? Yeah. So those who do not love the name of Jesus. This is why they're taking Jesus out of everything, out of the court system, out of our public square, out of the schools, you name it. They're taking the, why? Because they hate God and they hate his Father too. If I had not done, well, look at this. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. They saw the miracles back in his day. They saw the dead being raised. They saw the blind seeing again. They saw the mute speaking again. And yet they saw all that and they never seen that before and they still hated him. How does that work? But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. They're going to hate you without a cause. Saints, today most Christians do not face outright persecution. But for being Christians, although being a Christian is still against the law in some places in the world. We know that. Middle East. In the Asian countries. We know that there's underground saints. Can I get an amen? Or they'll lose their what? They'll lose their heads. Those who worship freely and unhindered should be deeply grateful. How many are grateful? Aren't you so blessed the feds are not coming in here and apprehending you because you're reading the God's word? However, saints, we should not assume that this verse does not apply to us because it does, and they're slowly creeping in trying to take away our liberties. Can I get an amen? Taking away the word, apprehending you for the cause of Christ is no different than having your finger slammed in a door jam. You ever had a finger slammed in a door jam? You know how painful that is? It would be painful to have everything taken from us because we love the Lord. So if we stand up for Christian values, we can expect opposition and hostility from the world. Based upon the testimony of countless believers who have lived before us, we can expect, saints, to meet with some form of persecution or resistance if we persist in living obedience to Christ. So just by letting your light shine and obeying Christ, I'm telling you, you're going to ruffle some feathers. And you're going to ruffle them good. But that's a good thing. And you know why? Because you want them to have godly jealousy for what you have. So when you have the Holy Ghost illuminating, they actually want that, and they don't know how to get it. So this is why it's the good news. Amen? It's the good news to them. Hey, you can have what I got too. But here's the key. You got to repent and turn from your sin. See, you got to get them into that mindset. You got to get, they have to understand that they have sinned before a holy God. And when you get them to that place, God then comes in and whoo, he does his thing. You know that old saying, we could lead a horse to the well, but we can't make them drink. Amen. So when you bring souls and you know they're inquiring, they're actually examining your life, and they're coming on invitation because they see something different about you, that's all that it takes, and God will do the rest. We serve a mighty God. Now listen to this, saints. Absence of persecution may not mean unfaithfulness, but if our lives as Christians never affect the world, we may have to question the depth of our commitment. Can I get an amen? And so let's look at verse 13 now in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But evil men and imposters will go worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And this is the state of our nation right now. There's no way that what happened during Obama's reign, that 50 states now allows same-sex marriage. That should have never happened. I bet our forefathers right now, they're rolling in their graves. Because they stood on the principles of God. Can I get an amen? I know this is a tough saying because many of us, including me, we have family members that are in that lifestyle. Many of us know them. And you got to remember one thing. It's not the person. It's the sin. Because they can be saved, truly saved, and redeemed. Can I get an amen? And so it's a spiritual fight. It's a battle. This is why you have to come and pray and fast for them. You got to say, God, because you cannot change them. Your sign and your post signs and all your marches won't change them. It's a spiritual condition, and they need to be delivered. Can I get an amen? The saints, even as believers who are face persecution, evil people and imposters will flourish. And right now, our state right now, just as I shared with you, I'm meeting what? 9 pastors in National City, and they have no clue on this bill that's in California. These wicked people were progressing toward their wicked goal and dragging others down with them. And that's the goal. And guess what? The way it slid in, it came under the radar. And so the church is, they're just sleeping. We're just going to sneak in while they're asleep. My goodness. That's a my goodness, isn't it? And so let's look at what 1 Peter talks about these imposters. Look at this. I'm going to read it out of the Living Bible translation. Since Christ suffered and underwent pain, you must have the same attitude he did. You must be ready, what, to suffer too. For remember, when your body suffers, sin loses its power. That's in God's word. And so these people that are rooted in sin, they look strong and mighty, but they're actually weak inside. Why? Because sin is destroying them. It's destroying them in the flesh. And many of them are acquiring all kinds of wicked diseases. Why? Because of their rebellion. Look at this. And you won't be spending the rest of your life chasing after evil desires, but will be anxious to do the will of God. That's us, amen? This is what should our desire be, to be chasing after the will of God. You had enough in the past of the evil things. The godless enjoy sex, sin, lust, getting drunk, wild parties, drinking bouts, and the worship of idols and other terrible sins. We had our part, didn't we? And for many of us, God spared our life. We should have been already destroyed. But God said, not so. My hand's upon this one. And I'm going to call this one out of darkness into his marvelous light. Can I get amen? It was God's timing, not ours. You know my testimony. I came with $300 of crystal meth in my sock. I was involved in 3 rehabs. And God radically saved me. And when he comes in and does a work, you won't go through one day of withdrawal. Man, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And many of you have the same testimony. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Of course, your former friends will be very surprised when you don't eagerly join them anymore in the wicked things they do. And they will laugh at you in the contempt and scorn. How many of you have already mocked you? See, this is in the Living Translation. I love it how it brings it out a little more clearly, huh? But just remember that they must face the judge of all. Wow, that's serious, huh? See, you and I, saints, we're not going to meet God in the white throne judgment. How many so blessed you're not going to meet him in the white throne judgment? But we're going to be there at the Bema Seat of Christ. What's the Bema Seat of Christ? Where God is going to bring everything in our whole life. He's going to show it to us. And some of us are going to get great rewards, and some of us are just going to get in by the smoke. But we're going to get in. Can I get an amen? Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed that Jesus paid our sins on the cross? But this is why. This is why. Don't build up your 401k here on this earth. That's going to deplete. Store up your treasures in heaven. Everything that you do for Christ, he writes down. And he writes down. And he writes down. And he gives an account. Everything you say, whether it's holy or pure or whether it's negative, If you're living holy or you're living in a debauchery type of life, he's going to bring it to the account. And I'd rather have the gold and the bronze and silver things than the hay and stubble. Because the hay and stubble will just disintegrate in the fire. Wow. But just remember that they must face the judge of all, living and dead. And they will be punished for the way they have lived. Wow. Oh, just the thought of that. Look at the people that you and I know that you know they're not saved. If they remain in that condition, Word of God says they will be punished. Wow. This is why we need to pray for them. Can I get amen? They don't know how to pray for themselves, saints. They don't. They're not born of God. They're not born of God. So let's go back. Let's go to verse 14 now, 2 Timothy chapter 3. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And so Paul was teaching Timothy everything that you have learned since a child. You remember, we learned that his grandmother and his mother taught him the ways of God. Now Paul comes filled with the Holy Ghost and sharing him deeper things in the Word of God. Remember, Timothy knew of the Old Testament, and the New Testament wasn't written yet. So Paul was bringing revelation that the Holy Ghost was giving him, and he was writing it down for us today. Saints, besieged by false teachers during this time, and inevitable pressures, a growing ministry, Timothy might have been tempted at times to abandon his faith or even modify his doctrine. And that's what's happened in the church today. They've modified the doctrine. We won't talk about sin. We'll just talk about prosperity and how much you can attain on this earth. Bible tells me he's going to burn up everything when he comes. What are you holding on to? See, that's a false doctrine. We got to be living for Christ. And everything that he gives us, it's to sustain us. It's to glorify him. It's to bless others, to help them grow in the faith. Amen. But none of us are called to be billionaires. I hope you know that. If he opens the door for you to obtain that with the knowledge you have now, it's to bless others. Can I get an amen? Amen. Not to hoard it up. Oh, I want more. Jesus talked about the man who filled up his barn and wanted to build another barn because he had so much. He lost it all. He goes, today your soul is required of me. What? Wow. Paul counseled Timothy to look to his past and remain faithful to the things he had been taught about Jesus that he knew were eternally true. The false teachers might constantly move on to new and more exciting concepts and ideas for discussion and argument, but Timothy needed to stand secure on what he had learned and firmly believed. And this is why Paul exhorted not just Timothy, but all the churches that Paul went to visit. He had to exhort them, saying that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's the rock. And you are to be immovable. Can I get an amen? You are to remain steadfast. Stay holy in the faith. Hold on to Christ. Don't let him go. Can I get an amen? And this is what the Word of God says right up here. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Let me just say this. All that you do for Christ, he will remember every second. He records it all. Did you know that there's more than just the book of life? The Word of God talks about there's many books in heaven and what he writes about us. My goodness. So he sees the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's right. He sees it all. God sees it all. You can't hide nothing from him. Can I get amen? Just because the doors are closed and the door knob is locked, he's right there sitting right with you. Oh, yeah. What else are you going to click to? He's right there. Can I get amen? He's right there. Look at this verse. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Did you know that Paul was not looking for Jesus? He was not looking for God. I hope you know that. Because when you read in the book of Acts, he was on his way to persecute Christians. Remember, he held Stephen's coat. And he watched Stephen get stoned to death. And I'm not talking about a hookah, you know, smoking and getting stoned. No, it was the real rock concert where they took boulders and they bashed your head in. That was a real stone concert right there. They stoned him to death. He persecuted the church. Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, and God had to what? Knock him off his beast. And how many of you were riding a wild beast before you came into the saving knowledge? Come on. Every one of us. We were walking in some evil ways. I think that's where that song came from. Evil ways. We were all doing that evil thing. Huh? All of us were. I think that song came from the pit. But aren't you so blessed how God saved us? Look at this in verse 24. Look at this. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is what? The church. We are the church. It's not the four walls in here. We, the people of God, we're the church. And Christ died for us so that we can bless others. Can I get an amen? Look at this. King David understood about being steadfast. Look, my heart is steadfast, oh God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. A word of knowledge came to me as I prayed for Pastor Rod and Sister Marietta on Monday. And I had Sister Marietta hold his hand while I was, me and Sister Yolanda were praying. Hey, man, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost dropped. It fell on me and Sister Eli, and it fell on them over there in Idaho. And God gave me a word for them that your deliverance was going to come through your praise and worship unto God. You see, what did we learn Sunday morning? See, God's ways are perfect. God does not deliver you from the fire. He delivers you when you're in the fire. So God allows these things to take place in our life so that he would get the glory when he delivers you. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's where he gets the glory. Man, when you get a hold of that revelation, that means, God, I'm going to walk in faith the rest of my days, and whatever comes, I'm going to trust in you. So no matter what comes, sickness, affliction, financial woe, relational problems, whatever the, well, when it's past the red bill, I mean, you know, when you get that final note, what color does it come after that? So even if you get that one with that color, it don't matter. God's still in the midst of it. Can I get amen? Look at this. Philippians, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Say that with me. I press on. You got to press on. Can I get amen? Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. I've seen so many saints just throw in the towel. Oh, man, you know what? This is too hard. Oh, yeah. Try living in the Middle East. When ISIS comes in and cuts your children in half in front of you and then beheads you, I think we would have a paradigm change then, right? Look at this. Brethren, verse 13. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Hallelujah. And you know what's ahead of us? The King of Glory's coming. Can I get an amen? Jesus is about to come. Hallelujah. All God is saying, hold on. Hold on. Don't quit. It's not time to quit. He's about ready to bust open the clouds. Thank you, God. Look at this. I press. Listen. I got a revelation when we were in Israel, not this past trip, but in the trip, for, I believe it was about maybe 5-6 years ago, that there's an old, ancient pressing wheel where they have a stone that was really carved out like a wheel, and they would have a mule or a horse pulling it, and they would put the olives down, and it would press on them, and there would have to be extreme pressure in order for the oil to come out. And so God is saying, I'm going to press you in this life. You're going to learn some things. You're going to go through some things. But when you get on the other side, you're going to be like fine oil and gold. This is why he says, I press. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be affliction. There's going to be all kinds of things. No one promised us a rose garden. Can I get amen? But Paul says, I press. I don't care. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. The hope of glory. So he's pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on, therefore, let us many as are mature. This is why you that I love that come out on Wednesdays, you're becoming more mature in the Word. Because you want to be in the Word. There's folks that don't, they care less. There's some folks, I'm talking about amazing grace. I'm talking about the church abroad. They care less. One of the things that truly is not even honored anymore, and we say it all the time, is the prayer ministry. I came from a 3,000 attended church, and when Pastor Leo would call the prayer ministry, do the math, 3,000 and only 50 would show up to pray. So dial that down to the amount that attends here. This is why you only see 3, 4, 5 maybe come out. But when you're pressing, there's a blessing. Oh, pressing and a blessing. There you go. You press. How many want the prize? Listen, God's going to blow you away when he shows you that prize. And it's not going to be a little prize in a Cracker Jack box. You know, when you're digging through there looking for the prize. It's not going to be like that. It's going to far exceed a $75 million home in Rancho San Diego. Oh, excuse me, Rancho Santa Fe. I've seen a $30 million home. Have you seen one? I have. Back in the day when I was a young real estate agent, we went on a caravan. And we got permission to go in through these luxury homes, amenities, tennis courts, basketball courts, swimming pools that would go in the home and come out of the home. 80-inch flat screen TVs in the bathroom. They have everything you want. Over 15,000, some were 20,000 square feet. So in other words, my old house, my entire house, you guys been to my home, it's about maybe 2,100 square feet. That's just a closet in that home. But what God has prepared for us pales comparison. God is going to blow us away when he shows you what he has prepared for you. He says, I go away to prepare a place for you. And when I come back, I hope to see you still looking for me. My goodness. Look at this. It says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, having this mind. And if anything, you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Saints, this did not mean that Timothy needed no further study, but that the basics that Timothy had learned from people he trusted would never change. And this is our goal here at Amazing Grace, that what you learn here, you will learn to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you would never change from God's word. Amen? This is what you need to be steadfast in his word. And so let's move on now to verse 15 in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's all about walking in faith. And it's all about the cross, amen? It's all about Jesus. Saints, Timothy was one of the first, second generation Christians. Not because an evangelist preached a powerful sermon, because his mother and grandmother had taught him the scriptures when he was a small child. We read that. And for Timothy, the Holy Scriptures were primarily the Old Testament. We know that, Genesis to Malachi. And the sources for Timothy's faith could provide another encouragement to continue in faith. Listen, they knew the word. They knew about the prophetic word. Paul, his mentor, and how many of you believe that we need mentors in this day and time that we live in? Amen. Amen. We're not too big for that. Amen. We're not too mature that we can't have someone teach us. Can I get an amen? We're not know-it-alls. I hope you know that. I'm not a know-it-all. I submit. I submit to the eldership of Pastor Rod and his wife. And when they speak into me, yes and amen. I don't quarrel. I don't contest. I submit. When you submit, that's when God will use you mightily. Mightily. When you submit to the things of God. And so, Paul was a mentor, a friend who provided an unmistakable example of God's faithfulness. The inherent scriptures that Timothy had studied and loved since childhood, and Timothy's dear mother and grandmother who nurtured him in love. And that's the key, is to be raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, but it has to be done through love. Can I get amen? God's word teaches about salvation. We know that. But knowing scripture alone saves no one. And many Jews had known scripture from childhood, yet they opposed Jesus and the salvation that he offered till this day. Jews refuse Christ. We know that. Look, we operate in a place. They're not messianic. They have no desire for Christ. But we're a light. You know what God says we are here for them? That we are what God said would happen 2,000 years later, that we would bring the new heart, that they would see that we would come back to the fathers. We would come back to them because they're the ones that gave us the scripture. Can I get an amen? But God has a plan. God's plan. God's not going to forget them. Can I get an amen? Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians. Oops, right here. Look at this. Since we know that this new glory will never go away, we can preach with great boldness. And not as Moses did, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites could not see the glory fade away. Look at this. Not only Moses' face was veiled, meaning hid, but his people's minds and understanding were veiled and blinded too. Even now, when the scripture is read, it seems as though Jewish hearts and minds are covered by a thick veil. Why? Because they cannot see and understand the real meaning of the scriptures. So when they go through their Torah portions, they go through everything in the Old Testament, they can't see Christ in it. When they celebrate the seven feasts of the Lord, they don't see that Jesus was crucified on Passover. They don't see that when they celebrate the unleavened bread on the second day, that Jesus was buried in the tomb. They don't see on the third day, on the Feast of First Fruits, the third feast, that Jesus rose again. They don't see 50 days later on the Feast of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was poured out. And they don't see that in the fall feast, when the Feast of Trumpets, God's going to fulfill that, I believe, in our generation, that when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be what? caught up to be with the Lord forevermore. How many can't wait for that day? Come on. You see, we see it. Pray for them that they see it. Look at this. Because they cannot see and understand the real meaning of the scriptures. For this veil of misunderstanding can be removed only by believing in Christ. Hallelujah. You can't believe in mysticism. You can't believe in the Kabbalah. You can't live any of that stuff. You got to believe in Jesus. Can I get amen? He will show you the better way. He will. Why? Because he is the way, the truth, and the what? Life. Thank you, God. Look at this. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writing, their hearts are blind, and they think that obeying the Ten Commandments is the way to be saved. This is in the scripture. This is in your Bible, saints. If you haven't read this portion, praise God, he's revealing it to you today. Can I get amen? Look at this. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord from his sins, then the veil is what? Taken away. So when we came to the saving knowledge of God, he showed us now a clearer picture that the Jewish Messiah would come and save us Gentiles from our sins. My goodness. The Lord is the Spirit, capital S, who gives them life. And where he is, there is freedom from trying to be saved by keeping the laws of God. You can't get saved by the law. The law condemned us. The law pointed us to the cross. We needed the law to come. And so the Ten Commandments was thou shalt not kill and murder and honor thy mother and father. We know that, but that couldn't save you. What that did is it showed us that, man, we're very sinful. And so we were pointed to the cross. So Jesus came, and he didn't do away with the law. He said, I came to fulfill it. Aren't you so blessed? And when he came to fulfill it, he had you and I in mind. Can I get amen? Before he spoke the whole world into existence, he knew your name already. And he knew in 2018, you would be sitting in a Bible study, June 13, 2018. He ordained that we would hear this once again. You maybe heard this many times, but you're hearing it again because he ordained it. Aren't you so blessed to be a child of God? Hallelujah. Only God could open up our understanding. Only he can reveal these deep, wonderful things of God. It's through the scripture. Look at verse 18 here. But we Christians have no veil over our faces. Hallelujah. He took it away. Remember when he said, it is finished, and he gave up the Holy Spirit on the cross? What happened in the temple? From the top of the veil. It was ripped from the top to the bottom, and it ripped open. You know why it ripped open? You didn't have to be a high priest to go in there. You and I could walk in. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's right. These desert rats. We were considered desert rats to them. We were unclean. We were unclean to them. And God has allowed us to come in. And now we have the same blessings that Abraham has. Can I get an amen? How many are so blessed to know, hallelujah, that we have all the benefits? Those of you that are struggling in your faith and financial, whatever the case may be, God has a reservoir of faith for you, and he will do the miraculous in your life. You just got to believe and trust in him. Can I get amen? And he will supernaturally take care of you like he has been since birth. Just for one moment, think about your life right now. Since you were conceived in your mother's womb, he's always had a place for you to live. He's always had clothes on your back. He's always had food on the table. Hallelujah. And you're alive. We're here alive. I know people in my life that already we had to go and just wow, they're gone. And pray at their gravesite. Pray for the family. But we're still here. Why? Because it's his grace and mercy on our life. There's nothing special about us. It's other but his mercy. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. It was nothing that we'd done. If you think it was all about me, think again. No, it was all about him. It's all about Jesus. Can I get an amen? There ain't nothing we can say, oh man, look at me now. No, look at God now. He's the one that's being glorified in my life. Hallelujah. By faith. You got to believe God for that. Amen. Look at this. So, but we Christians have no veil over our faces. We can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him. Aren't you so blessed to know that, saints? Huh? You see, Paul, he himself exemplified that in his early years when he was walking, when he first got saved. Look what he says right here in Acts. Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This also I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints, look at this, he went after them. He put them in prison. He killed them. He burned them. He fed them to the lions. Paul did that. Look at this. And he received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. What? Look at this. This is what Paul did. Look at this. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to the foreign cities. Wow. This is what he did. And so let's go to verse 16, because this is why we have to understand the full counsel of God. Can I get amen? That's why in verse 16, 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Hallelujah. We're here but the grace of God for what? His righteousness. Can I get an amen? Paul's writings were classified as holy scriptures of God. And I love how he outlines these things in 2 Peter. Look at this. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to those things, be diligent, be found by him in peace. How many wants to live in peace? Okay, learn to obey God. Learn to live his ways. Learn to acknowledge him and be at peace with your brother and sister. Can I get an amen? Listen, quarrels are going to come up, but it's how you deal with the quarrels. You may have a quarrel right now, but man, be the first to say, forgive me. Don't let your soul rise up against another. Can I get amen? Because God sees all that. So looking forward to these things. Be diligent to be found in him by peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Look at verse 16. As also in all the epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand. Sometimes the word of God, when you try to, it's hard to understand. But this is where you spend time with God. God, teach me. Show me, God. Show me the revelation. Show me what you're saying to me. Even tonight, say, God, show me what you're saying to me. Oh, and God is faithful. He will. Look at this. Hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You know, you could take one scripture out of context. I've been to other fellowships, and I'm not going to say who they are, but they'll just take one scripture and preach on that, and not even, where are they going with this? It's precept upon precept, scripture upon scripture. You got to put them all together. It's got to fit like a puzzle. Can I get amen? And when it comes together, now God is going to give you a clear understanding. Why? Because each scripture confirms on who and what the Lord is saying. Look at this in verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also, what? Fail from your own steadfastness. The Bible says we can steer off the deep end, being led away with the air of the wicked. God said, man, you know what? If these folks want to continue to drink and party and all that, man, say, I'm not going that way no more. I'm a child of God. Some of us still have friends that we don't know how to let go yet. And there's some people you just got to cut them off and say, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. I don't hate you. I don't dislike you. But I can't be with you no more. Because your lifestyle contaminates what God has given me. Listen, the Holy Ghost that lives inside should be precious as gold. You shouldn't let nothing contaminate that. Can I get an amen? You just like how you love your children and your grandchildren, man, you better love God even more. My goodness. Look at this. But grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. There's folks, they don't care. They're living in sin. There's people that shack up and pack up. They don't care. They're in and out of bed. They let anyone come in their room. Illegitimately, without asking God. Man, this is where, man, you could fall into the hands of an angry God. How many want to fall into the hands of an angry God? Nuh-uh. Say no to sin. Can I get amen? Just say no. Uh-uh. I'm going to honor God with my life. Listen, someone asked me, I forgot who was, why are you wearing a suit Sunday morning? What's up with, why are you dressed up? I said, man, you ought to see what I used to wear going out to the clubs. If I can't dress for the King, hallelujah, and give him my best, that's just me now. And as pastor, I want to give them all. I'm sorry, but you're not going to get a 25-minute sermon here and rush you out. Some of you are saying, man, when is it going to be done? It's already done. I think you know by now, that's how I roll. if you can't endure the sermons, I'll just send you a devotional. You gotta endure, huh? Come on. I used to have a brother sitting around. I'm not saying his name. Say, scriptures affirm Paul that everything was inspired by God. Can I get an amen? And so, you and I, did you know that you and I, by faith, we are holy? Well, what do you mean holy? Yeah. You know what holy means? Holy's not wearing a pompous hat and a robe. And spending 40 days in a monastery? No. Holy means that God has separated us for his, hallelujah, purpose and use. Can I get amen? Amen. That's what holy means. It means separated from the world. That God will use you mightily. How many want to see the dead being raised? How many want to see the blinds to see and the mute to talk? Well, God will use you if you allow him to use you in mighty ways. God, we serve a mighty God. And so we can't stray with the wicked. Can I get amen? We can't. Look at this. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so as we come in for a close, you know, when you're in an airplane and you're going to land, they say, okay, put on your seatbelt. It's almost like there's still 30 minutes before you land. So fasten your seatbelts. We're coming in for a landing. Listen, when you love God's word and you're in his word, what does the scripture do? Number one, the scripture, it can teach us what is true. Can I get amen? It can teach us what is true. The content and teaching of truth which must flow from and be consistent with Scripture. By calling the Bible God breathed, Paul was identifying as divine source, and it comes from heaven. Can I get amen? Number two, look at this. The Scriptures can make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Listen, You can tell someone how wrong they are and you ain't living right and all, and they're going to look at you like, who are you? But when the Word of God says it, now you can defer it and say, well, it's not me, but look what God says. Because that's for me too. See, God will defend him all by himself. We don't need to defend God. He'll defend himself all day long without us. The initial impact of true teaching involves the confrontation of false teaching and understanding. There's false teachers out there. I hope you know that. Some of them ride around, man, in a 2018 Escalade. They live on Cherry Hill. And they don't care about your sinful condition. Just keep on filling the basket. Lord, help us. Help us. This is why churches like this, you don't see them packed out. You know why? I don't want no one to tell me how to live. Especially you, preacher. And it's not me. It's God's word. And when the scriptures are vague, those churches, man, they grow in numbers. Why? Because it's all about feel good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can't wait for that club Friday. Look at number three. It straightened us out by helping us to see our errors. That's God's grace. You know, here's God's grace. God's grace is that it's not that he dislikes us. He's showing us to correct those things in our life. Can I get an amen? So that we can live an honorable life, a pure life, a holy life unto him. In the area of correction, the scriptures have two roles. They provide a complete presentation of the teaching where only part of the truth has been present. And they provide a right understanding and application where true doctrine may have been taught but has not taken effect. And fourthly, it teaches us to do what is right by showing us how to please and glorify God. How many want to glorify God? Huh? How many want to glorify God? Here's the key. Love the Lord with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And love yourself as your neighbor. Did you know that all the laws of God hinge on those two scriptures alone? You see, we cannot keep the whole 614 scriptures. There's 614 laws in the Old Testament. All right, sister, do a Google search. Where's she at? Oh, okay. Try to keep every one of them. As soon as you break one, the Bible says you've broken them all. So, that's why Jesus had to come, to fulfill the law. So now God is saying, if you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you love yourself like your neighbor, well, guess what? Now that establishes not a rule, but a relationship. Did you catch that? Listen, for some of you that are happily married, that love your wife, that love your husband, okay, and you would never do anything to harm them, to endanger them, to connive them, to damage them. The Bible says you love them because you love yourself, right? So this is what Jesus is saying. It's when you learn to love the Lord Jesus like yourself, then you will start embracing the laws of God. Because now it's this is what you have to do. No, this is what I love to do now. We used to love to sin. We used to love to go out there to the, look, it's 8:35 right now. I'll shut my mouth real soon right now. But at 8:35, this is the time I was showering up and getting ready to go out to Black Angus Wednesday nights. Come on. Oh, was that one of you there I saw many years ago? We was out there, weren't we? Huh, we were out there. But by the grace of God, by the grace of God, he's teaching us now to love him. And when we learn to love him, we look at those things that he does not approve of, and we say, you know what? Because I love you, Lord, I don't want to break your heart, and I don't want to go and do that no more. So it's not about you can't. You can do anything you want. It's that I won't because I love the Lord. And when you have that relationship with him like that, guess what? You will be able to press. And that prize will be waiting for you. Hallelujah. You know why? Because you're learning to love and obey him. How many of you can honestly say when you was growing up, before you got saved, you were rebels without a cause? I think we all could say that, huh? Man, some of us, I like to use Brother G's isms and schisms. We was toe up from the flow up. Huh? Many of us were, come on. Man, I'm telling you, we came into the church doors, man, with smoke on us. We were all ready to perish. And so we close in the last verse, and then we're done. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is where the message came from. Can you honestly say, saints, that God is equipping you? Hallelujah. Amen. I saw one hand go up. Amen. Praise God for that one that God's equipping. Can we say that God's equipping us? Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, I woke you guys up. Somebody go, man. Saints, Scripture's purpose is to prepare and equip believers for every good thing that God wants to do in us. Amen. Timothy carried a heavy responsibility in Ephesus. But through his faith and reliance on God's word, he was capable and proficient, able to meet all duties and challenges. Believers should study the Bible so that they will know how to do Christ's work in this world. Knowledge of God's word is not useful unless it strengthens our faith and leads us to do good work. Amen. And I close with this scripture. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ. For what? Bad works? Nah. I won't give it all that I got. I'll just do some of the work. No, good works for which God prepared beforehand that we should what? Walk in them. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you, God, for the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. And Lord, thank you, God, that you show us more of your ways. We learn from the word of God that we're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Lord, we can recall in our past lives, in our BC years, that all this was foreign to us, but now it's relevant and it's alive in us. And we can see clearly now our destiny. And that destiny is to be with you forevermore. But I'm praying for someone that's listening to this message that's never given their heart to you, God. And Lord, we are praying by faith, Lord, that you would do something miraculously. At the sound of my voice, and it's not the voice that you're hearing, but it's the voice behind my voice, which is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I'm praying that God will quicken you. He would give you ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to you. And if that's you, pray this simple prayer. Remember the prayer. It's not a magical prayer. The prayer is a prayer of faith and trust in believing Jesus, who died for your sins and mine. And all he's asking is to turn from your sin. The Bible says repent. Make an about face. Let go of the past. Let go of the present. And now look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. And if that's you right now, pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God praise and glory in the house. He's worth.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.